Hello everyone, welcome to the Aquarian Mind Podcast. Today's podcast episode number 24. I'm your host Jamel Crothers. It's Book Insight Friday, and today I'm delving into Code Blue and Oath to the Badge and Gun Part 1. Yeah, I know the long wait is over. Yeah, I'm delving into police corruption, police brutality, and racism in America. And it also goes on around the world too, but I see it from a perspective of me living in America. But I do read and hear of the stories in other countries. But anyway, not to delve off of the topic at hand, I'm going to talk about how I wrote Code Blue Part 1, what went into it, all that stuff, right? So when I decided to write this series, I knew that I had to think back to all the cases that have occurred in America in the past 30 years. See, I couldn't necessarily just think of the recent cases within the past 5 years because, well, that just really wouldn't justify this series in a nutshell, right? So when I was a young kid, I don't know if you guys remember, with Amadou Diallo, he was killed before his wedding by police officers. Or when Sean Bell was killed by police officers in New York City. Or when Rodney King was beaten by 4 white police officers in Los Angeles. And I can go on and on and on and on. And I won't stop to the break of dawn. But anyway. See, when I was younger and all this stuff happened, I didn't fully understand these stories until I got older. And then I understood the racial tension that fills out society in America. So, you know, it wasn't until I was, an adult and into my 20s when I started to side-eye a lot of situations that, you know, would go on. And, you know, I can sit here and run through every case, but like I said, it wouldn't do much justice for, you know, this podcast right now. And I know you're thinking to yourself, okay, you wrote this series, so what went into it? So I had to be different with writing this book, let alone the series. So it's not going to be what you normally read. And it's not going to be what you see on TV. Because TV, they're going to report to you whatever the hell they want to. They're not going to report to you everything. And everything's color-coded on TV, and everything's numerical, and it's all of this agendas and propagandas, I guess, to be politically correct in what I'm saying. So anyway, when I decided to write about this main character, Gary, I knew that I had to take the race out of the picture when it came to him and who he was, right? And just to give you the heads up, I address his race more toward the end of the series. But anyway, in my mind, I really had to say, let's focus on the racism in America between police officers and Black and Latino citizens. What is not discussed is how there are Black and Latino police officers who are really racist against their own. So it's not necessarily just white cops versus Black and Latino men. Believe it or not, there are a lot of Black and Latino cops that are against their own. It doesn't surprise me, but anyway. So there was a need to address that early on, but in the midst of it, I know, like, when you read the book, you're going to try to figure out what race Gary is. And the reality of it is that no matter what race Gary really is, or whatever you choose to make him, you know, any police officer who commits the wrongs that I write about in this series, there's a lack of upholding the oath that these police officers took to protect and serve the community. Or are they serving someone else? Right? It becomes, like I said, following agendas and doing what you're told regarding Black and Latino men and citizens of this country. We lose a sense of the things, you know, that are going on. And I say this because people have this mentality of, well, it's not happening to me, so I'm good. And then it happens to them, and then at that point, it's just too damn late. And now we have to really address it, right? So there's this problem of humanity and people's mindsets on the fact that it's like out of sight, out of mind, because it doesn't directly affect me. And it's sad. It really is. But what I will say is that Gary is a combination of protagonist and antagonist as a character. Protagonists are positively influenced characters that are in books, and antagonists are characters that you gotta question and whether they are good people, things of that nature. Just to kind of give you a breakdown of that. Now, Gary is a good cop, but he gets caught up in a lot of things that he never thought he would be getting caught up in. So, in a nutshell, it took a lot to write just part one, because I'm addressing corruption and police brutality and racism and prejudicial shit. All while kind of keeping Gary's thoughts and feelings in the mix of it. And it becomes a hard battle of writing it to where it's believable, truthful in some ways. And then it's like Gary you can relate to because, you know, he's a police officer that's kind of caught up in a lot and he's trying to decide what he's going to do. And this makes you think about why in the world are there good cops not speaking on the lies, the secrets, the corruption, and the racism that goes on amongst police departments in America and in the world. But, you know, when you become indoctrinated into this brotherhood of Code Blue, you start to fully understand, you know, as a police officer, that you have to keep quiet and keep mum on certain things. And there are a lot of things that infiltrate police departments on a daily basis. And if you are to do your due diligence and fully research into what occurs, you'll start to understand why I wrote this book series. And, you know, I utilize the police chief and all this and, you know, him giving orders and things like that. And, you know, you got to question who answers to who and who's at the top of the totem pole of power and authority. And, you know, the reality of it is like bulletins that I wrote in Code Blue. They aren't, you know, in police departments like that. But I had to shape it in a way to where you understand that a lot of police officers aren't necessarily vigilantes with guns, batons, mace, and tasers, but they can be pushed into positions beyond their control to maintain their health benefits, paychecks, pensions, things like that. And that's something that I take on and tackle early on in the series. And there's a reason why that I do that. A lot of cops are in it, you know, for the power and authority and to abuse their power. And they're involved in organizations that control what goes on in the world. And then there's those that are really trying to do their due diligence and really solve crimes and protect communities and do the right thing. So there's the mix of that in police departments. And then there's always the talk of what can be done with police reform and how are they trained and things of that nature. But it goes beyond that. And that is the damn truth. So, you know, writing part one, it was tough. It was addressing situations that friends have been through. Thankfully, knock on wood, that I've never had to experience anything of that nature of what goes on. But I will say that I deal with more of silent racism than outright blunt racism. That I'll say. And I'm not going to sit here and say I enjoyed writing Code Blue 1 and 2, 3, 4, and 5. No, I'm not going to sit here and say that. But I am going to sit here and say that I did, you know, some research and kind of, you know, gauge things. And then also, while I'm writing this book, I'm, you know, also looking at the nature of America and society. And I know that when I was writing it, it was, you know, I know it was after Sandra Bland died in police custody. I do remember that. And I know that someone else was killed and it made national news or something of that nature. I don't know if it was Mike Brown and what happened in Missouri. It's very possible that was another case that, you know, I saw and knew that I had to, you know, step up to the plate and write. But I know that there were some cases that were going on to where I knew that, you know, Code Blue 1 definitely needed to be written for sure. And then, you know, as I've said in previous podcasts, you know, I got to a place where I said, okay, I've got to write a series on this. And that's when I started digging a little bit deeper into previous police cases of other police departments and government organizations. And you guys will learn of that in these next few podcasts on Book Insight Friday regarding these police officers and things of that nature. So it was good for me to write this stuff so I can address, okay, this is what's going on. But it's sad that I have to write about these types of issues that are going on. So it's mixed feelings in regards to, you know, writing this kind of content. And I know that, once again, you know, these are book series that I want to, you know, engage in now and later and in the future and, you know, keep the conversation going in regards to this. So that's my Book Insight Friday. I thank you guys for listening. I appreciate you guys greatly. Code Blue, part one and the rest of the series, they're all available on Amazon, Barnes and Nobles, Kobo, Apple, Scribd, and plenty of other places. You can access the ebooks, you know, through me. You know, you can buy them from me personally. Code Blue part one is in audio format, so you can buy the audio books from me personally because I do not post I don't post the audiobooks on Amazon, and that's for business purposes. So with that said, that's my podcast for today. Have a good weekend, everybody. Be good, everyone, and go accomplish your goals.